You will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO.
Good morning, everyone. So happy to have you with us today on this podcast. My name is Ray Zinn. I'm Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO. Recently, I had sold my company in 2015. And now, writing books and just in enjoying helping out universities with various projects that I have on Tough Things First. With me today, I'm so delighted to welcome Suzanne Evans. Hello, Suzanne. How are you today?
I'm awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Ray.
Oh, it's delightful to have you. You know, I think after reading your bio that I'm going to call you Suzanne Wonder Woman Evans, because Suzanne has done some remarkable things. She started a business from, basically a humble beginning. I think a secretary is great, but it's a humble beginning to a building a company that does $7 million in sales and record time. She's also written a book, a New York Times bestseller. How You Do Anything Is the Way You Do Everything, which is really a nice title to a book. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in this podcast. And she's been on the Inc. 505,000 list for five straight years. And she's really just done remarkable things. Her book is a New York Times bestseller, and she's helped thousands of business owners get on a fast track to success. Her company is called Driven, by the way, and I'm sure she'll tell us a little bit about what Driven is, and that sounds good. I mean, being driven is a good thing. So with that, Suzanne, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of your company Driven and how you help businesses.
Thank you so much. Well, it's funny. We were bantering a little bit before we started the podcast today, and I am a seventh generation North Carolinian, but I think the most important thing is I'm a seventh generation farm family. So I believe the farmer was the original entrepreneur. And I grew up in that family and that experience, and strangely moved from that experience to working in the Broadway theater industry. I worked in the Broadway theater industry for 10 years. And what I learned working in the Broadway theater industry was every night is almost like opening a new business. And especially every show that you open. And the company that I was working for as a secretary opened five Broadway shows while I worked there for about a decade. And I've really never seen an industry that puts up quote unquote businesses as fast as a Broadway production company does, because even though we opened five Broadway shows over those 10 years, all of those shows had road shows, they had international productions, they licensed to other people. And so you're constantly opening a new show. And so from there, I started my own business, which I really thought would be a little side hustle, make some extra money, maybe eventually be able to transition out of my job. And about 10 and a half years later, here we are with the company that I have. And certainly there's a lot of detail to how I was able to do that and what I did and what I got right and what I got wrong. But the main piece of all of it was having a really driven spirit and attitude and willingness to make a fool of myself, a desire and a hunger to make things better, get things right, help people. And I learned a lot along the way. I was fortunate to learn a lot from my parents, and I also learned a lot from the Broadway production company I was working in. But mainly, I find that the most successful entrepreneurs long term are people who are committed to figuring it out as they go, asking for help, and failing over and over again with very little emotional reaction to the failure.
Well, that's pretty good. I have a saying that He who repeats the past fails in the future. So hopefully you learn from those mistakes you made and just didn't repeat them, because repeating the same mistake and then expecting a different outcome is called insanity. So, you must have been able to overcome that in some respect, Suzanne. So, tell us what was one single thing you could say helped you in your success?
You know, I think a couple of things. I had parents who were almost dogmatic around commitment. And if I started piano lessons, they didn't care if I played the piano the rest of my life. They didn't care if it was something I wanted to continue to do. But if I committed to the year in piano, I finished the year. And as a matter of fact, from 0 till 12th grade, I never missed a day of school. Never a single day. My parents' rule was, we'll take care of everything, and you have one job. It's to go to school, and it's to do the best you can. And if I woke up and I said I was sick, my dad said, well, if you own your own business or you work for someone, they don't really care if you're sick, because they still need the job done. So I want you to get up and go to school this morning. And if you don't feel well later in the day and you can't make it, just call us, we'll come get you, but I want you to go and I want you to try. And it was the greatest gift I was ever given, because you'll never meet someone more committed than I am. There's tons of people smarter, there's tons of people more experienced, there's tons of people more accomplished, but I am committed, and I was taught that, you know, if you ask God to move mountains, expect to wake up the next morning laying in the bed with a shovel.
That's very, very similar to my experience. I ran my Krell, my semiconductor company, in Silicon Valley for 37 years. And in 37 years, I think I only missed 7 or 8 days of work in 37 years. And that's, well, one thing, I lived a healthy lifestyle, and that allowed me to be healthy enough to have that sort of record. Very similar to you, Suzanne, that I was able to just, even though I didn't feel particularly fantastic on a particular day, I still went to work because I was committed. And I think your comment about being committed is correct. And, if you commit to take piano lessons for a year, you better show up every time for your lesson and practice those lessons. And so, yes, that's great. What was the other thing?
The first was commitment, and the second was a willingness to make a fool of yourself. And I was very fortunate that I did a lot of theater growing up, so I did have a little bit of a performance background. And one of the keys to being a great performer is improvisation. And even if you don't know where you're going, keep saying yes, and you'll figure out how to get there. And so the second was really, so many people wait to be perfect. They wait to know it all. And in the day and age we live in, with technology and with, marketing and with the ability to connect with people all over the world in an instant, you can't have it all figured out. You have to kind of step in and let parts of it evolve. So the second part was willing to get things wrong, willing to mess up, willing to make mistakes, and know that really, truly the only fools are the people waiting to get started.
That takes courage. I think the key to that is just having that ability to look things right in the eye. And as I say, have the stare of the Iceman, as you would, just not flinching. And, I know I did a little performing in my day, and if you make a mistake, don't let the audience know it. That's what I used to do. And I didn't say, excuse me, oops, I didn't do anything like that. I just went on. If I pronounced the word wrong, or if I made the wrong move or entered it at the wrong time, I made it look like that was part of the show. So, if you make a mistake, never let anybody know it was, just pretend it was part of the act.
Absolutely. And again, the audience doesn't know the script. The audience doesn't know the routine. The audience doesn't know the dance steps. So if you keep dancing, if you keep singing, if you keep performing, most of the time they're not going to question it. And as a matter of fact, they're going to join in.
Yeah. I remember my mother, her dad was from Germany. And I remember taking her over in her 80s over to Germany to meet her relatives. And so they had a party for her. And it was interesting. We went into this big room there, and everybody was clapping, you know, and cheering and everything as my mother walked in. Because it was a surprise for her. And so my mother said, why is everybody clapping? Why is everybody cheering it? And I said, because they're honoring you. And so she said, when are they going to stop? And I says, when you tell them to. And so she says, siéntese, por favor, which is sit down in Spanish, you know. And I turned to my mom. I said, Mom, you just said sit down in Spanish. And she says, I know, but it's a foreign language, isn't it? So, you know, she wasn't afraid at all. You know, she just said, because she wanted to say it in a foreign language. So she spoke it in Spanish. And so, you got to have courage. You know, you just can't let things bother you. You know, my mother was the oldest a teacher in California when she retired. She worked longer than anybody else. I think she was 75 when she was asked to retire from teaching. So, and again, I have very similar parents, very similar to your folks. Were, you know, commitment and just courage and dedication and vigilance and all those things were part of the normal training that I received as a child. I also was raised on a farm. It was more cattle, you know, but still agriculture, and so I know that routine.
Yeah.
We
had cattle as well.
Yeah, so it's all part of the life you live. I mean, you as an agriculture person or farm person, you know, you got to get up and milk the cows. You got to get up and feed them every day. And even currently, you know, I have some horses and at my ranch, and I got to get up and feed them. I could ask other people to do it for me, but I do it myself. I get up and feed my horses and clean the poop out of the corral and out of the stalls. You can't be afraid to do the tough thing. So, and you had some questions for me, Suzanne. So let's talk about some of those things you would like me to address.
Yes, absolutely. So I love the concept of tough things first, right? And so I wonder, I talk a lot about the cycle of quitting and how people get trapped in a cycle of quitting, and it just becomes this behavior that they live over and over again. So I wanted to ask you, with your experience and your incredible background, is there ever a time you should quit, right? And how do you define or know if it is time to stop or give up?
Well, as an example, in 1994, I went on a roadshow to take my company, Micrel Semiconductor, public on NASDAQ. And on the roadshow in London, I lost my vision. I mean, I literally went blind due to a medical problem. And I still had 3 or 4 days of the roadshow left to do visiting these investors. And so I should have flown back and got the thing treated. But I went ahead and finished the roadshow, and I had to fake my way along because I couldn't see my presentations any longer. But I adapted and was able to finish them, and then got back to the Bay Area, you know, a few days later, and went and saw the doctor. And the doctor said, well, your eyesight's not going to recover. It's permanent damage. And so then the lawyer said, well, maybe you ought, and the board, my board said, well, maybe we ought to unwind the IPO. And I was devastated. I mean, you can't imagine what it's like to go from vision. My vision 2 weeks earlier was 2015. And then, because I was a pilot, and then to lose my eyesight instantaneously. It wasn't slowly. It was instantaneous. Not be able to drive, and I had to have somebody drive me to work. And so here I was, the CEO of a company just ready to go public. And my board saying, you ought to unwind the IPO and find somebody to replace you and just deal with it. And so after much prayer and soul searching and so forth, I went back and told the board, I'm going to move ahead. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to move it. Go forward. So he went public, and had a very successful public offering, and here I am blind and difficult to you would think to run a company when you're blind, but I did. And I went on for 22 more years running the company as a blind person. But I did it, and I did it. In fact, I think I did it better once I lost my vision. I think I was a better CEO than I was when I was sighted. So, when is the time to quit? I don't know. I mean, you can be forced to quit. You know, I mean, when I sold my company in 2015, I didn't want to. I mean, the board said, "Oh, it's time for us to sell the company," and so I didn't want to do it. But conditions change, the board voted to sell the company. So that's what we did. And so even though you could say that I quit, I mean, that the company, I had to resign as a CEO. I didn't quit. I still went on to help, universities. I got six universities that I work with I don't know that there is a time to quit. If you maybe have to modify some of the things you do and alter your approach, but I'm not sure there is necessarily a time to quit, Suzanne. Maybe it doesn't get you where you want to go in your questioning, but I'm not sure there is.
Well, I think it's an amazing response. And I find, I've only found one answer to that question. In my experience, and that has been, unless something is extraordinarily dangerous to your health or well-being, right? Whether that's a relationship that there could be violence involved, or something like that, then it is. But I find that even if you don't want to continue to do it forever, or you're not even sure, completing it to the end of its cycle gives you more knowledge and information than stopping in the middle.
Well, again, we're talking about now a medical problem, and I certainly had a medical problem. Losing my vision was a medical problem. I couldn't fly my plane any longer. So I don't call it quitting. I don't call it quitting, though. I mean, even though I couldn't fly the plane, I could find somebody to fly it for me. So, the quitting has a different connotation. Quitting means giving up. And I don't think that even if you have a medical problem like I did, if you're a dentist and you lost your eyesight, or if you're a surgeon, certainly, you'd have to change the way you do things, but I don't think you have to quit. Quit is a really a word that I think, quitters never win. I mean, quitting is just an awful word. Quit. I mean, doesn't even sound good, does it, Suzanne? I mean, I think you can change, the way you do things. But I don't think you have to quit. Ray Charles was a wonderful singer and piano player, and he was legally blind. He was blind. And so, I don't think you have to quit. Quit means give up. How does that sound to you, Suzanne? Giving up.
It is. I think you have to adapt. I think you have to be flexible. I think you have to change. I think you have to be creative, right? I think you have to be innovative, but I never sat around a table with highly successful people and the conversation of their success was around when I quit this thing.
Right. Well, you want to quit. There's some things you would like to quit. Like if you smoke, okay, quit smoking. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Quit. Okay. Don't keep it up. Or if you have another bad habit, swearing, maybe using vulgar language, quitting. Okay. So let's talk about quitting bad habits. I'm willing to quit a bad habit, but I'm not going to quit a good habit. How's that?
Exactly. There you go. I think that's where we can nail it.
There you go.
And then I had a leadership question for you. So I was very curious about leadership tactics, styles, culture that you may have needed to develop and master to stay engaged in a company as in an industry as long as you did. It's one thing to, we see so many CEOs now go from place to place to place to place. And who did you need to be and what did you need to master to create what you created?
Well, I think you talked about earlier is commitment. Okay. That not giving up. I mean, that's what I mastered. Even when I was not feeling well, I still went to work. Even though things weren't going well at work and, you know, you say, oh, heck with this and you want to go home. You don't, you stay with it. You stick with the habit until it sticks with you. A good habit, that is.
I love that. I want people to hear that. You stick with a habit until it sticks with you.
There you go. You know, Emerson said, that which we persist in doing becomes easier. Not that the nature of the task changes, but our ability to perform it becomes easier. So that's what, you just have to be persistent. You just got to keep at it. And back to that not giving up. And so what my people saw in me and what I try to pass on to them was just don't quit. Just stay with it. You know, that's how you learn. You don't learn by giving up and quitting. And so, when I lost my vision, I mean, my employees all thought that I was going to leave. I was going to quit, but I didn't. I said, no, we may have to make a few changes here, but we're not going to quit. We're going to stay with the course. And so, in fact, I'm reminded of a research accident that happened in the Baja California, the Gulf of Baja California, that is. There was a research vessel years and years ago that capsized in what they call a Chubasco, which is a major storm. There were 8 on board, and I think 5 perished and drowned, and 3 made it to shore. And so the news reporters asked, "Well, how come you 3 made it and the other 5 drowned?" And all 3 of them said, "Because we didn't give up swimming. We didn't quit swimming." So that's the key. Wow. I mean, you know, the only way you're going to drown is if you quit swimming. And so, you know, for those of you who have been swimmers, know that if you quit swimming, you're going to sink. So, you know, you just got to keep swimming. You got to keep at it. And, only people who quit are going to drown. And so, you know, that's the key to, I think, leadership. And I think that's, you know, in your book, the way you do anything is the way you do everything, you know, is just don't quit, you know, just keep swimming.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. As you know, there are so many trainings on leadership, right? And so many people who specialize in teaching leaders to be leaders and so on and so forth. And I wonder, you know, what a difference we would make in companies and in cultures and with people if we focused a little bit less on training to be leaders and training people on leadership and just were good people who people wanted to model and successful people. And what I'm hearing you say is you didn't have to spend a lot of time on teaching people to be leaders because you were so busy being a leader and not quitting and adapting when things had to change that people just followed that model.
Exactly. So doing anything, your people are going to follow you if they believe that you're worth following. And so, you know, they're going to follow the leader. You know, that's that game that we played as kids, you know, follow the leader. And so, you know, you what you do is if they will just replicate what you do, as long as you're doing good things, then you're going to have a successful operation. And, I know of many, many experiences where they say, come follow me, follow my lead. And so, as long as you take charge and you are a good leader, setting the proper example and the proper, strategy for your mission for your firm, you'll succeed. And it's not that you're not going to have trials and difficulties, but you will succeed as long as you don't give up. And you keep pursuing your dream, and so that's at least my view of it. But again, maybe it's a good segue to conclude our podcast, Suzanne. I really appreciate having you on the show today and being able to share your vision and my vision with regard to not quitting and being driven and having that passion to succeed. And no matter what your passion is in life, whatever your goal is, please keep moving and read Suzanne's book, How You Do Anything is the Way You Do Everything. Look her up. She has a website. What's your website, Suzanne?
DrivenInc.com.
Let's go to, if you want to learn more about how to succeed in business, go to DrivenInc.com. And that's a fantastic. Thank you so much, Wonder Woman, for all you've done to help us on the show and to create this ambiance of not quitting. And again, we appreciate having Suzanne with us today and sharing her vision of being driven. Look up our website, toughthingsfirst.com. We have all of our podcasts listed there. You can also get my book, Tough Things First, on Amazon or Amazon or any of your other favorite book retailers. And on my new book, Zen of Zen, Z-E-N of Z-I-N-N. That's a philosophical book. I recommend it to anyone who wants to just to learn about the philosophies of life. And if whether you're in business or you're just as an individual, it's things that will guide you, give you guiding principles in your life. And again, thanks to Suzanne for being with us today and sharing her views on driven, being driven as you would. And say thanks again and join us again on our next podcast. And give us your ideas, your questions, your thoughts, and we'll respond and hopefully include you on a podcast. Thanks again, Suzanne.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.